hello, everyone, and welcome to our Vital Health Community Health Topic Talk for the month of December 2019. It is our last talk of the year, and it is our last talk of the decade. And how fitting it is that I get to present to you one of our totally amazing nutritional endocrinology practitioners, who is also one of our energy recharge coaches in the energy recharge coaching program that many of you are part of. And she has a wealth of information that she's going to share with you. And it's a very timely topic today. It's called Be Through with the Flu. We know that notoriously winter tends to be the time of flus and colds. And for many reasons other than the cold weather, like the Christmas and Thanksgiving holidays where people overindulge in sugar and all kinds of crap. But let me tell you about Lynn Rose and what she's going to be sharing with you today. So Lynn Rose DeMartini has got a wealth of knowledge and experience in healthcare. Started out in traditional Western type of, and I shouldn't even use the word traditional, Western type healthcare as a registered nurse. She was actually doing immunization nursing, and she started to feel like what she was doing was not exactly helping people solve their health problems. And so she became an herbalist and a homeopath and has been practicing as a homeopath and an herbalist for the last 15 or so years. Correct me if I'm wrong. It may be longer than that by now. And she's a wealth of information. She's a wealth of knowledge about EMFs and immune system and herbal remedies, and she's just a great contributor to our program of practitioners and also to you guys as our, you know, wonderful and open and minded and just hungry for health information students. So I'm so thrilled to introduce you to Lynn Rose DeMartini. Thank you so much for being here, Lynn.
Hi, can everybody hear me?
Everybody can hear you, I'm sure.
All right.
I can.
Okay. Well, welcome, everybody. It's fitting today. I don't know about where you are, but it got cold this morning, so it's a good time for this.
Yeah, and it got from 80 degrees down to 40 this morning. So
yeah.
It's crazy what that does to our immune system.
And pouring down rain. It's just, you never, and tomorrow's going to be beautiful and sunny, so you just never know. And that doesn't help. Okay, so I'm going to be talking a little bit about the flu and what it is and what we need to do about it. This is what, when you see all sorts of stuff in the news and on the walls everywhere, you know, they put all this fear onto you all the time. And it's, there's a lot of incentives everywhere you go. It's free, free, free flu shots, you know, because they really want to push this agenda. But, you know, everywhere you go in the drug stores and grocery stores and everything, there's always a booth somewhere where they're selling you a flu shot. And, you know, it's a personal thing about whether you choose to do that or not. And as long as we have the choice, that's up to you. But obviously, anyone who knows me knows where I fall in that realm. And I'm kind of, you know, I was an immunization nurse for many years, 9 years. And I'm probably the furthest from that now. So how much flu would a flu shot stop? If a flu shot could stop flu. And then again, in the news, you're getting all sorts of fear-mongering. They inflate the hazards of the flu, and the flu is like anything else, colds or illnesses. It's the body's housekeeping. You know, it's not about all these diseases that are going around. Not everybody gets sick. So it's about, you know, getting your body strong. But they always put us into fear mode when we talk about all the bugs going around, especially in a in an environment where we're traveling all the time with air flights and such. You know, things get spread so easily. But they don't talk about the fact that the conditions of where you're flying, you know, the airplane itself is hazardous. I have a lot of different links here. There's a lot of links to different articles and YouTube things. This is one about serial flu shots and the damages that happen when you, even after the first one, because each time you take one, it impairs your immune system that much more and makes you more prone to the next year's flu. And again, there's no scientific method to the way they devise the flu shots. each year is kind of a guessing game. I think they just kind of throw darts at something, and that's what they put in this year's batch, and it's usually wrong. And they neglect to think about the fact that these bacteria and viruses and creatures that live in our body are very intelligent, and they know how to adapt to all these things, and they talk to each other. So no matter what we throw at them, they're going to find a way to get around it. And so the more we inject ourselves with these chemical monstrosities, the weaker we become to defend ourselves from that. This was an article you can, and you'll get the slides that have these links. So, this is one about nurses being suspended. There's some, hospitals that are kind of making an about face about that. They used to have it where if you didn't get your shot, you had to wear a mask. And if you didn't, you were fired. And, of course, it should be the other way around. Those who, take the shots should be the ones to wear the masks. But, it's, you know, a lot of harassment. And so a lot of nurses were fighting back. And so this one was another one that was really good. If you have Facebook, this link goes to a Facebook link. And she's talking about her disillusionment. And that was really compelling. So there's countless things out there on the web that you can find about how people really, you know, they're the ones they bury way down farther on the searches. But if you keep digging, you'll find them. They purposely manipulate search bars so that you don't get to see those things easily. But there are plenty of it out there. There are alternative methods of staying healthy and avoiding the colds and flu. Obviously, they're natural. You shouldn't have to inject yourself with a concoction of poisonous chemicals going past your first line of defense to stay healthy. That's just absurd. And, of course, I have a disclaimer. The information in this presentation is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, and it is not intended as medical advice. It is intended as a sharing of information and personal experience, and I encourage you to make your healthcare decisions based upon your own research and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. Okay, it's not about the bug. It is a state of the body. The terrain is everything. Most of us in this group, of course, are familiar with, you know, the microbiome, and that's our immune system, you know, both on the top of the body and inside the body. You know, even the skin, the mouth, the hair, everything has a microbiome. And the more we disrupt it, the more we are more vulnerable to all these little creatures that live around us. And these creatures are our friends. They do a lot of things for us. They, you know, they create our hormones and our, all the things that protect us. And so we want to protect them and not kill them off. When stress takes us down, of course, there are simple, less toxic ways to manage the flu besides turning to pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals just compound the problem. Your body is no place for the flu this season, and that's what we want to prevent. It would have been nice probably if I could have done this a couple months ago, because people have already been, you know, suffering with different illnesses and getting flu shots and being around people with flu shots. So I hope that this finds you in a healthier state. It's wise to remember that the flu shot is a live virus vaccine, and it will shed to you and others for about a month. So give a wide berth to pharmacies and stores where they're administering the vaccine, and prepare yourself to be around those who have recently received the vaccine, because they do shed. That doesn't mean that it's not good for you to be exposed to those things, because it does strengthen your immune system, but it is kind of inconvenient sometimes, especially during the holiday times. The elderly, children, and those who are immunocompromised, which is most everybody these days, are at most risk, but they are touted to be the ones who most need the vaccine, unfortunately. Obviously, strengthening the immune system is the key. You want to make sure you get plenty of rest, then it's got to be restorative rest. You know, we've talked about during sleep modules about, you know, what constitutes good sleep. And you need to have that deep restorative sleep in order for that to happen. And, you know, there's a lot of apps and wearable things that you can have now that can measure your sleep. And it's really enlightening to see what kind of sleep you actually do get and how it makes you feel the next day. Then again, keep yourself sufficiently hydrated. Fluids, most people get dehydrated, especially in the wintertime when you've got heaters on that dry the air. That just compounds it. So make sure you stay hydrated. It's not just in the summertime when we need to drink a lot of water. Maintain a healthy, nutritious diet. That kind of goes without saying. Get the proper exercise. Don't overdo it. But get up and move. That's the main thing. Get plenty of fresh air and sunshine, especially in the morning. Even if you don't see any sunshine out, there's still the rays of sunlight that you need that help with, you know, your melatonin production and all that, that help you sleep at night. And you need to be regular in your habits, in diet, sleep, and exercise. You want to kind of get a momentum going, and each day kind of stay as close to that as you can, because when you vacillate and change your habits every day, it confuses the body a little bit. You want to avoid stress whenever possible. Good luck on that, because it's always going to be there. We just need to know how to manage it more than just avoid it, because it's inevitable. Plan for fun in your day. That's my hardest one. But, you know, everybody has their idea of what fun is, and try and incorporate that in your schedule, just like anything else. And during this time of year, you know, avoid crowds. Because it's typically, if you think about it, during the winter time is when all the holidays are, and that's when we're out shopping and in crowds and malls, and everybody's stressed and trying to get things done, and they're eating crappy, and, you know, all these things compound our immune system getting weakened. And that's why we're so vulnerable that during that time, and that's when the flu season happens. The actual flu, influenza bug, and other germs like that are around all the time. They live in our body. That's part of our microbiome. But when they're given an opportunity, that's when they emerge, and that's when they take over. You know, even being stressed can take your body down enough to get you sick. So, you know, just be real mindful of that. And, of course, what Mom always said, wash your hands frequently. Now, there's a caveat to that. You know, everywhere you go, they have different kinds of soaps in the dispensers, and most of them have the triclosan and those other things that are not good for the microbiome on your hands. So you're really sometimes better off to just use the water and friction, because it's the friction that really does the important part. So, but use them, you know, whenever you need to. Now, obviously, if you get them soiled, you need to use some soap, but try to find a natural soap, because most of the soaps are alkaline, and they will change the acid mantle of your skin and make you more vulnerable to infections and rashes and things like that. Cover your mouth and when you sneeze or cough, you know, usually they tell you to cough or sneeze into your elbow, if you can remember that. I do say, you know, keep a couple of Kleenexes with you. I don't like handkerchiefs and things that you reuse, because that just kind of seems kind of gross, but use something you can dispose of. Keep your hands to yourself. You know, we tend to be real quick to touch things, but I'm not an advocate of taking wipes and hand sanitizer everywhere. I think people kind of go overboard with that, but just kind of be mindful of what you touch with, you know, because everywhere you go, you're going to touch doorknobs and shopping baskets and things like that. And obviously, if you're healthy, you're not going to be really bothered by that. But just kind of be mindful if sometimes it's kind of gross. So, and then, you know, take your annual tonics. Some people do, elderberry syrup is probably the most well-known and most common one. And, you can make a lot of variations of that. I'm going to have a basic recipe here. So, let's see here. And then cleansing. Cleansing is a good thing year round, but especially if you're starting to come down with something or you want to recover from an illness. Just cleansing all those tissues. The neti pot is a very common one to use for your sinuses. Typically they use a saline solution. I use like Himalayan salt in the warm water for the neti pot, and that relieves a lot of that mucus congestion that dries, you know, in your sinuses. Enemas and colonics for those who are okay with that. They really do miraculous things sometimes. So if you haven't tried one, I would try that just to get past the yuck factor of it, because they are a lifesaver at times. Recently, you know, you did the talk with castor oil packs, and those are an amazing way to get your body restored as well and really strengthen and speed healing. And then working with your lymphatics, getting a dry brush and do lymph skin brushing and lymph massage. Going to a massage therapist, you can get lymph massage done, or you can do it yourself. Just anything to move the lymphatics, because lymphatics don't have the pump like the blood circulation does. So you need to have muscular contractions to move it. So, you know, jumping on a trampoline or a good brisk walk, but doing these extra things helps because the lymphatic is getting all the debris out of the cells that you want to get to the colon and get it out of the body. And then there's sauna therapy. That's a good way, just sweating it out through the skin. So you want to open up all your portals of elimination and make sure they're all functioning, because if you get constipated or, you know, you don't have the top layer of skin removed periodically to allow the sweat to come through, you know, you can get auto-intoxication. And you want to do these preventively and to facilitate resolution of illness. Okay. And then there's a term called hormesis. It's kind of one of those mitochondrial biohacks that have gotten real popular these days. Eating regularly, you want to, if you're going to do any kind of, whether it's fasting or not, you want to be regular in how you do it. And, of course, we've discussed, you know, having the time between meals that you need for the motor complexes to operate properly. And, of course, the restricted, and I later on here I say fasting and intermittent fasting, so that you have a certain window of time between your last meal and your first meal. And you can start it early in the day and then end it early in the day, or vice versa. You know, it's always a breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and it can be two meals a day instead of three, but I don't suggest one meal. I think that's too much restrictive, other than periodically. But do it on a regular basis, and doing fasting the class we did recently with the fasting for feasting, is an excellent way to do that. There's a guy named Wim Hof. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but I encourage you to explore him because he's a very interesting gentleman. But he does a form of deep breathing and cryotherapy that are really very strongly supportive of the mitochondria. And the deep breathing is pretty intense. It's like 30 deep breaths, and you're really trying to extend the amount of time you hold the breaths, and you do that three times. And, I mean, it'll make you lightheaded, but it really does encourage the mitochondria. Hormesis is kind of like stressing the body a little bit to strengthen it. You know, like what they say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And so that, and then using heat and cold. The cryotherapy, there's, you know, different places you can go now where you can get the stand-up cryotherapy treatments, which are really cool. Or you can go jump in ice baths like he does, and it can be very invigorating, and you've got to work your way up. But if all you can do is just at the end of a shower, turn your water a little bit cooler until you get it to cold, and eventually, you know, you get accustomed to that, and it actually feels good after a while, and that is really good for your immune system and for your circulation. And then there's a couple things here that I have a couple of warnings about. Sauna therapy, which the benefits sometimes outweigh the problems, but because sauna is just good for everything. And then red light therapy. We need that red light therapy to help with the mitochondria and to help with offsetting the blue light that we talk about. The blue light comes from your phones and your computer screens and all those electronic devices. And when you see those kind of things in the late afternoon, it totally wipes out your melatonin. And then there's some parts of the country where they don't get enough light. And like I had said before, getting out early in the morning and getting that early sunlight is the most therapeutic and the best for your melatonin. They do have the light boxes that you can buy if you're in the Northwest here, where they have a lot of seasonal affect disorder. You can buy the lights that you want to kind of be in front of for 10 or 15 minutes at least every morning. But the red light, in fact, most of the blue blocker glasses are on that same basis. They're blocking that blue light. And the red light is more stimulating to the mitochondria and more healing for that. And they also affect the circadian rhythm. And all the different things that we've talked about affect the circadian rhythm. And that's because we are rhythmic creatures, and we have to have the certain periods of light and darkness in order for our bodies to work properly. And I'll talk about the bewares in a minute. And then, of course, exercise and movement. And we've also talked about different vagal tonic exercises, you know, the gargling and the deep breathing and the coughing and the choking, you know, gagging and all those kind of things. Those are not the ones that everybody likes to do as much, but even, you know, singing and there's a whole list of others, that they've talked about before in different classes. The bewares I'm talking about with the sauna therapy and red light therapy, I was really happy that I had a sauna and I had a red light therapy box. And I had just read a book called Red Light Therapy by Ari Witten, which was an amazing book to read and lots of really good information. And he talked about certain kind of light boxes that you could use to stimulate the mitochondria and support healing. And it was really funny because the day I read that book, this green smoothie girl put on a group buy and she was selling them. So I bought one of those lights and I have it if anybody would like to buy it. I've been using it until I had my home assessed recently for EMFs, and the dirty electricity and EMFs that comes off of that and my sauna are just really over the top. So it was not acceptable. So I kind of unplugged it. But then I said, well, what's my alternative to how do I get my red light and the benefits of the sauna and everything? And so, he just happened to have this really, and this is kind of repeating what I just said, that most all saunas and red light therapy boxes have high electromagnetic fields. And I've only found one that doesn't, which is a very expensive one, but you know, it is something you can explore. My consultant introduced me to the answer to both these problems, and it is this. It's kind of a strange looking thing. They have them with one light, or you can get it with four lights. And how he told me to use it was to heat up my sauna, get the temperature up on my sauna, and then shut my sauna off and put this in and shine it and just use this as the sauna. They actually sell this with the four lights and a tent-like structure that it makes up the sauna itself. So Sauna Space is the company. And so I really encourage you to look at this because it has shielding in it. The wiring is shielding. The light bulb is shielded. And he demonstrated it to me here in my home, and it negated all the bad things of the lights I even had. So the benefits were, you know, you got all the benefits without the bad stuff. So this was, and they had a Black Friday sale on it, which when I got it, so it was like $100 off. But it's normally about $350, so it's not cheap, but for what it does and what it offsets, it's well worth it compared to what I had spent before. And so I encourage you to explore this because it does have a lot of benefits and really good for your immune system. And it feels good because it puts off the heat. It was really funny because when he came in my house, I have one of the red infrared bulbs that they use like to warm up chicken pens and things like that. I have one hanging over my couch because it warms me up. He said, well, intuitively, you tried to do this. It's just not shielded. And so we had all the meters and everything to test it, and that really was very an awakening. So it's really interesting stuff to explore. Okay, and then remedies that you can do if, in fact, you do feel bad. There's elderberry syrups. There's herbal tonics, fire cider, and I have a link there to how to make some fire ciders. It's potent stuff, but it works. It's really good for knocking things out. And then there's the homeopathic remedies, oscillococcinum, which you use typically when you first feel like you're coming down with something. And then there's homeopathic influenzinum, which what we do in my practice is we combine these two together, the oscillococcinum and influenzinum, in little packets, and people take a couple of pellets of each every 2 weeks during flu season. It's just kind of, instead of doing a flu shot, this is our homeopathic flu shot. And it's really staved off a lot of people from that usually suffer with the flu. It's really made a big difference for them. And oscillococcinum, and I'll show a picture of it, you can get that at the store, grocery stores or drug stores. It's right now it's still available. That doesn't mean it'll always be there. So I have a big bin I have here at home. I call it my pandemic box. And I have a stockpile of oscillococcinum and influenzinum, and, you know, masks and gloves and things like that in case we ever do have some sort of a pandemic situation. That's my first line of defense for everything. And then, of course, making sure you have all your vitamins and minerals, preferably in food. And that's where the chronometer is really handy to kind of see what you're short on and what you augment. And because I don't like the idea of just plugging holes. You know, it's better to get it in food because there's a lot of synergy that works between different chemistries. And foods have things that we haven't even found yet. So obviously food is compromised. You know, most of it's not grown very well, or it's been contaminated, or it's been traveled. And unless you grow it yourself, you know, from good stock and good soil, like I know some of you do, that's about the only way you can really guarantee that you've got good nutrition. But you do the best you can, and that's why we have to use supplements sometimes. This is the Oscillococcinum. Most of you have probably seen it. It's in this on the shelves near where all the other cold and flu remedies are. And there's other homeopathic remedies, too, that are in that area, you know, for colds and any kind of other symptoms, eye problems or ear problems. And any of those are good. They're non-toxic and they're really good. Like I said, the powers that be are trying to take these things off the shelf. So if you have the opportunity to get some and stock a few, it would be a good idea because they're going after homeopathy. So I encourage you to get what you can. And then this is a recipe that, it's a basic recipe, real common one for elderberry syrup. Tastes really good. And, you know, you use 2 cups of dried or 3 cups of fresh elderberries. Don't eat the elderberries itself, but, you cook them down, 4 cups of water to 1 cup of berries if they're fresh. And then 1 to 3 tablespoons of ground ginger, 1 to 2 cinnamon sticks, 1/2 to 1 cup of honey, 3 anise stars, 1/4 teaspoon of cloves. And you can put some apple cider vinegar in it if you'd like. And then you just combine all that besides the honey in a pan and bring it to a rolling boil and stir it frequently. And then reduce it to a simmer and do that for about 10 or 15 minutes, stirring it. And then remove from heat and steep it for about 30 to 45 minutes. Then you would strain all that through some sort of a strainer or bag into a bowl. It's going to be pretty thick, so, you know, just a really fine strainer is usually sufficient. And funnel that into canning jars and add the honey. You know, just kind of divide up the honey between them if it's more than one jar. Depends on whether you put them in small jars or larger jars. But divide the honey up between the jars, close them, and then shake it well. And then you can keep that in the refrigerator for about 3 weeks, and it'll give you about 2 cups yield with this recipe. And then just take about a tablespoon daily. If you miss a day, no big deal, but this is, I believe in taking things during seasonal times. I don't believe in taking something all the time. You can always add to this recipe too. A lot of people add other herbs to it. I have some that have a lot of other viral issue herbs, you know, echinacea and some others that you can add to that. Obviously that's going to alter the taste a little bit. But if you're using it like a medicine, then that's not a big issue. I add chaparral to mine, and a lot of people have a real big problem with chaparral, but it's really good healer. So, you know, this is something to start with. Here's what elderberries look like. They're so pretty, and it's a beautiful colored syrup. And remember, if it was the bug, we'd all be sick. So when I was a school nurse, you know, there was that time of year when every child in the school was sick and coming into my room. And I would usually get sick one time, you know, for a couple days, and then that was it. That was like my injection for the year. And then I was fine the rest of the year with all the sick teachers and kids coming in all the time. It didn't faze me. I've never had the real flu. I just get, you know, a couple of days of not feeling well. But like I said, if it was the bug, we'd all be sick. So just remember it's the terrain and stay strong. Now I do have, I wasn't sure I was going to have a video here where you could actually see it. I was going to hold it up and show you, but I do recommend that you get a homeopathic kit. I always tell people this. They make them in 50 or 100 remedy kits. You can use them for a lot of things. It's like a first aid kit. There are a few specific remedies from the kit, if you want to write these down, that are specific for flu. And what I like to do is if you do get the flu, you combine all these into a little dropper bottle and add some spring water or Berkey water or something like that to it and let them dissolve and then succuss it, where you take the bottle and hit it against the palm of your hand about 10 or 15 times. But let me read out the remedies to you. I didn't get to get them on a slide, but the specifics are arsenicum, baptisia, bryonia, eupatorium, gelsemium, nux vomica, and phosphorus. I can put that, I don't know if we don't have like a chat window here, so I don't know if I can put those anywhere, but I'll put it in somewhere where you can do it, or you can ask, you can certainly email me or ask me. But those are the quintessential ones for the flu. I like to combine them all because they all have their own specific pieces that they address, and combining them is the best way to do that.
I just typed some into the chat. I don't know if I spelled them all right.
Okay. Which ones do you have? Arsenicum, Baptisia.
Baptisia, Bryonia. Eupatorium, I spelled EUPITORIUM. I'm not sure if that's right.
I would put EUP-PER. That's how it's usually sold. Eupatorium. I believe it's EUPAT. Let me see here. Got the paper here. Sorry, I didn't get this on there.
And I also put the
song.
What's that?
I think it's EUPATO.
You know what? If you look it up in Google, Google always corrects your spelling.
Yeah.
And then gelsemium, nux vomica, and then phosphorus. Those are the ones I put in.
That's it. And between that and the other two things, the influenzinum and oscillocinum, you should not get sick.
That's awesome. And if you, with the influenzinum and the oxalo, is there a shelf life on them? Because when my son was traveling recently with my husband and he had gotten sick before he left, he shouldn't have gone, but he got worse. Mm-hmm. And I told him to go get some of this and he gave him one dose and he was better the next morning. But he bought like this huge box. I'm like, oh my God, how are we going to ever use that? That's like a lifetime supply. But you're saying they probably doesn't have a shelf life and they'll be good forever.
Homeopathics don't wear out. As long as you keep them in a safe place where they're not sitting in electronic fields and things like that. He took the oscillo?
He took the oscillo. He had been sick before he left. He, you know, a cold kind of symptoms, and I had given him some vitamin C and other stuff, and he wasn't taking it regularly. And then he went on this trip with my husband, and he got worse. And my husband freaked out because our kids have never been sick, and he had a fever. And he's like, should I take him to the ER? I'm like, no, he has a viral infection. I did the right evaluation to make sure he didn't have pneumonia or what's the thing called? I can't even think of it. But spinal thing, meningitis. Okay. You know, and it's cold or a flu, you know, so just here's what you do. And I told him to go get that stuff. And by the next morning, he was okay. And this happened one other time when he got sick when we were visiting relatives and we went and got this stuff. And by, you know, within a few hours, he was better. So the stuff is really, it works really well.
Yeah. Well, the box will tell you to, at first signs of feeling bad, to take a whole, because it comes with a little, and there's different sizes. They come with these little plastic vials in them.
Yeah.
Some are 6, some are 12. It'll tell you to take a whole vial two or three times a day. You don't need to take the whole vial.
You don't.
I usually just tap it into my mouth, and I intuitively, whatever I need is what comes out.
Oh,
so
cool.
You can certainly spread out a vial for the day. You know, they want to sell it. So they want you to take as much of it as you can. But some people need the whole vial. But, you know, just kind of you find your own place.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's great to know.
Okay. So any questions?
Yeah, there were a few questions that were typed in. I wanted to ask, I think it wasn't clear. What are the benefits of the red light?
Of the red light? Well, other than the fact that your mitochondria have two functions. One of them is to give you energy, the cell energy. And that goes behind everything. I mean, everything, every process in your body needs energy. So the mitochondria is key for any kind of health problem. And when it's in that mode, that's where it's appropriate. But But if there's anything going on in the body, inflammation or a stressor or toxic things, it goes into a cellular defense mode. And when it's in cellular defense mode, it can't make energy. So mm-hmm. your body can't function as long as it has that stressor. So this helps to clear out some of the things that cause that dysfunction and strengthens the mitochondria. It increases the number of them and the size of them. So I don't understand all the science behind it, but it's been proven that it certainly increases the mitochondrial power.
So it can give you more energy in addition to, you know, fighting off whatever is going on.
Yeah, not just energy like, you know, being able to go out and run, but the energy for your body to function.
Yeah, you know, if your cellular energy.
Your adrenals or everything else depend on mitochondria. Every part of your body has mitochondria. And that's what, you know, it's the workhorse of the cell, every cell in the body. So it is key. And, you know, even there's a Dr. Cruz who promotes that even supplements and everything else don't do what red light can do and avoiding the blue light. Those two things alone can make a big difference in strengthening the body. Mm. You know, so, you know, it's, we are light beings and every cell in our body has a photoreceptor to it. And so, exposing as much of your body to regular sunlight in the morning and avoiding it in the evening the best you can. You didn't see my sleep thing, but I showed a picture of me sitting here with a hoodie on and my blue blocker glasses on because if the screen is hitting your face, it's, you know, you're still absorbing blue light.
Got it.
Not just your eyes. You know, we've come to realize that we are very photo beings, light beings, and it affects us dramatically. And sitting in a cave all day like we most of us do in front of a screen is truly doing us a disservice.
Not a good thing. Yeah, absolutely. A couple of other questions. Is the honey absolutely, does it change the therapeutic value of the elderberry syrup if you just don't do the honey? I mean, I know from a taste-wise, you can always add Lohan or something like that, but because a lot of us are so sensitive to
sugar. It also shortens the shelf life of it. You know, if you make it into a tincture instead of using the honey, of course, it's going to last longer. It just doesn't taste as good. The thing with honey is two parts. One, it's soothing to go down your throat. You feel better. And number two, honey is very antimicrobial. So it is just another piece to it. But you could certainly, and I have done this, instead of using honey, just use your other viral herbs or bacterial herbs and make a tincture. You know, I added a whole bunch of alcohol and other herbs to it, and it's basically a big tincture. And you can certainly do that, and it will give you more shelf life.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It will give you shelf life rather than something you have in the refrigerator.
Right. But you can keep it in the refrigerator and preserve it, I would think.
You have to if you do the honey recipe, yes.
Okay.
But a lot of people go through that in a season, so it's not as big an issue.
Not a big deal.
If you wanted to make something to use throughout the year, then making it into a tincture might be a better idea.
Okay. And can you make what the way you said to do it and then just add like a bunch of Oregon grape or, you know, golden seal or something like that to it along with, you know, for
tasting?
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, I would cool everything down before I added the other things to it.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't add it while it's cooking.
Okay.
Just,
cool.
Just elderberries by itself, and you're making an elderberry extract, and then you're just adding your other herbs and then alcohol to preserve it. So you've basically made a tincture, and that's certainly a benefit, unless you have a real sensitivity to alcohol.
Alcohol, like those of us, like me, sensitivity to alcohol. I do tinctures, so I'm able to do like an Oregon grape tincture without a problem.
And some people will put it in apple cider vinegar instead.
Apple cider vinegar.
And that's where, you know, what, like I was talking about the fire cider, that's kind of on the verge of a fire cider too. You can certainly, if you've never had fire cider, it's potent. It will kill anything. And it uses all your really heating herbs and plants. Spices and stuff. So
yeah, that sounds good. I've got to get me some fire cider. I know Diana posted in our ERC group a really nice recipe of her making the fire cider. Yeah.
She posted the one it's pretty much the quintessential first fire cider that anyone really talked about.
Great.
But Yeah, there's been lots of variations to it, but it's just anything really hot, you know, garlic and horseradish and onions and cayenne and all these kind of things
all
together.
All my favorite stuff, you know. And yeah. When we'd have the first sign of any kind of cold or flu, I would make them a soup, and they'd always ask me for that soup. Mom, I need that soup.
There you go.
And basically, I would put some, I would just steam up some celery and broccoli and carrots and a potato, and I would then blend it all together with garlic and ginger and, you know, all kinds of spices. My kids loved, since they were tiny, have loved the spices, and I would do all that together and make them this, you know, this fiery soup.
That's your vegan chicken soup.
Yeah, exactly. And they would always ask for it. And even a couple of years ago when my son was home and he was doing a lot of heavy-duty workouts in the summer and he started to get headaches. He said, I think you're dehydrated. And he goes, Mom, make me that soup. Maybe that'll help. I made him soup, and boom, like he was better. He never got the headaches back again.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, healing is not complicated. You know, it's just we have to trust the body to be able to do that. And we've kind of been disempowered from doing that. The, you know, medical profession has kind of told us that you can't do that. We have to intervene. And that's really disempowering and stressful, which makes us that much more vulnerable.
Yeah.
So. Now we need to trust that our bodies can manage these things and allow them to be sick. It's normal to be sick. That's the body learning something and cleaning out.
Yeah. No, it's a great point you make. It's trusting. That word trust. And a lot of people get freaked out. Like my husband, he's freaked out that my son had some, you know, deadly disease. I'm like, he has a flu. He's never had this before. You're not used to sick kids. Yeah. He has a flu. So this is what we're going to do. And I had to calm him down off the ledge because he was scared, you know. So.
Well, you know, having a fever is very beneficial, even 104, 105. And people are afraid to death of that. Obviously, little babies tend to get the seizures, but they usually pass. But, you know, we've been frightened to take Tylenol and everything else every time the body goes above 99. And that's really done us a disservice because the fever is what does the, I mean, that's
what
like,
doesn't work, right? Geez. It's just the heat that kills these guys off. And he's got up to 103 and he never had seen his kid. His kid got 103 fever and he freaked out. I'm like, he's almost not a chance of convulsions till he gets to 105 or 6, you know, or seizures. So don't worry about it, right?
A lot of my clients will say, well, my son had a fever this month. I said, well, what did it get to? Oh, 99. I'm like, that's not a fever. that's almost normal.
That's almost normal. It's just a little high and the body's going, okay, something's in the environment that I need to fight. Don't stop it from fighting, right? I told my son, if you want to take Tylenol, take it, but it's going to slow down your recovery. It'll get you feeling better, but it's going to slow down the recovery. And that's a trade-off. Sometimes if they're so miserable, you know, you want to get them out of their pain and give it to them, but that shouldn't be the first line of defense.
Well, most people have too low of a temperature to begin with. I mean, 97 is about the norm these days. And, you know, you hear thyroid issues and everything else.
Right.
The body's been really, you know, depressed that way. A lot of it is, you know, the chlorine in the water and the stuff in the water and radiation and everything else has really affected our body temperature. And so, trying to prevent those kind of things from influencing, you know, protect yourself from radiation with dental x-rays and chest x-rays and things like that. And making sure you get your water filtered out, you know, get the chlorine and fluoride out of your water because those do a lot of damage. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Water filters are mandatory. Don't drink the tap water.
Yeah,
all these things help. I'm looking to see if there's anything else. If you have a question you want to ask it on the phone, just raise your hand. It's star 2 or raise your hand. I'll look to see. Or you can type it into the chat or the Q&A. Most people type into the chat because it's easier.
Yeah, I don't see that. So I don't know.
Nothing's in there. I also put the link to the slides. And if you refresh the page that you're looking at them on, then you'll suddenly see this thing that says link to slides or whatever, flu slides. And I also put it in the chat. So if you haven't seen that, it's just scroll further up.
I encourage everybody to go to those links I have and watch the videos. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Let's see. So I had a couple of them. You mentioned the Wim Hof, the red light. So I was going to ask you just you know, for those of us who live nearby, who did your EMF assessment? How did you find somebody to do that?
Well, I just finished taking a class from GeoVital, which is a company that trains people to do that. There's also something called Building Biologist, and there's actually a Building Biologist in Austin. But they work a little differently, and the GeoVital people measure the frequency's effect on the body directly, where the Building Biologists don't do that. And I had a gentleman named Brian Hoyer that is pretty much renowned in this country. He makes a tour around the country every year, and he comes through Austin. He just was here about a month ago. But he did, you know, Mercola's and Ben Lynch's house. He's done, you know, a lot of that, you know, his house. And, he's pretty interesting young guy. He took the class I did, but he went and took I took the online version, and then you have to go there to do the practical, and which is in Austria. So.
Oh, wow.
I have not done that yet, but that's if you want to really, you know, I'm an affiliate, but if you want to be one of their practitioners, then you have to go through their training there. And they also teach geopathic stress, which is something the building biologists don't teach. And I do dowsing, so I'm familiar with the geopathic stresses and all that. But they have different remedies to mitigate these problems, different shielding paints. Meshes, fabrics, different things like that to deal with the electrical and magnetic fields and RF fields that are influencing us. And, you know, I had basic meters that you can buy, and I had tested my house, and I thought I'd fixed a lot of stuff. But when he came in here with his really good meters, then, you know, I saw a whole different thing. And really eye-opening. So I'm still working on it.
While for folks, especially if you've been, you know, dealing with your health and making diet changes and lifestyle changes and still are having some issues, you know, with sleep or with stress or with depression or anything like that, it's really worthwhile to explore that EMF piece.
Yeah, because sleep is my big thing, and that's something that's where they really focus, is getting the bedroom to be a sanctuary for you. And that's what I'm working on.
Good. Yeah. I hope to hear. I want to hear how that goes going forward.
Anybody want to come sleep in my room?
Anybody want to come sleep in your room?
I just want somebody to paint it. I'll sleep in it.
I'll paint it. I was paint it with a special paint. Yeah.
Well, because you have to put a primer on and then two or three coats of this carbon paint, which is black. And then you have to go back over that and paint it with the color you want. So it's, and you have to ground it. I mean, it's pretty involved. Major project.
You find somebody locally, and then, you know, like on whatever that thing is, Craigslist or something, that does paint, and you just give them the paint and the instructions, and you don't know what to do.
I don't know that I trust too many people to do it, but I'm going to be part of it and then get the basic, you know, bulk of it done by somebody else. But it'll get done.
Okay. So Jay asks, I'm looking to increase my absorption of water. What do you think of the energetics homeopathic rehydration drops?
A lot of people think they really help. I haven't noticed a big difference because I have a problem with staying hydrated. Water just tends to go right through me, and I haven't figured a way to keep it in my cells, and that's what that's supposed to help with. But I haven't used it on a regular basis to really determine it. But it certainly isn't going to hurt, but I would certainly try it. I haven't seen anything else out there that does that. There's all sorts of drops and things that are out there that are supposed to increase the wetness and structure of the water so that it's more absorbable. And I'm sure all of them are pretty good in that respect. But I don't know what the rehydration drops, because it's not something we were taught on how it affects the water that way. But I certainly would try it.
I think it's worth a try. I know that Lynn uses them, and I've recommended them to some people. But you know what? They're also relatively inexpensive. You get one, you try it, you get two. You get a couple, three of them, and you just try them, you know, a couple of days in a row each one, see if you notice a difference with one, and then pick the one that you find to be the most effective.
Right. Well, you know, the most effective way to get fluid in the cell is through the juice of plants. So, you know, vegetables is still the best water, but it's just that we don't eat enough of the juicy ones, you know, or juices.
or drinking the juices. But yeah, that's what we did a lot of on the fasting with food thing. We had a lot of those wet vegetables in the mix.
Well, if you think about our ancestors, they didn't carry jugs of water around with them. They depended on the vegetables.
On the food. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everybody's gotten into, this mode of being on the run and eating quick foods, and the quick foods, the portable foods, unfortunately, are very dry and dehydrating to the body.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's when we were talking about fasting, there's also something that not too many people have explored called dry fasting. And it's typically, like a 24-hour thing, but it tends to, for people who have a lot of bugs or candida, it's supposed to be very beneficial in that way because it starves them out. The candida loves a damp place, and that helps to dry things out. So there's benefit both ways. You just, you have to do them the right way.
I tried. I'm a fasting advocate. I've done lots and lots of fasts. I tried the dry, but I might try it again in a different situation. I tried it as it was day three. It was my third day of a water fast. So I decided today was going to be a dry fast. And I think
it's hard because you can't do showers, brush your teeth or anything. I mean, no water touches you.
I got to 18 hours and I just couldn't stand it anymore. I had to drink. Might have been different if I didn't do it on day three of a water fast, if I just went from a normal day into doing that. So I will try again, but it was brutal for me. Other people I know have done it. I tried to get to 24, I got to 18, and that was it. I just couldn't stand it. I had to drink.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I'm used to doing fasting, But there's times when I have been ill, there's times where where I was really nauseated, where if I even drank the slightest bit of water, it would just make it come right back up. And so it was dry fasting. So I'd go for a day without taking anything, and I got over it quicker that way. So there's benefits to it.
Now we all have to find what works for us and what our body, like Diana was saying earlier, her liver says yes on enemas, coffee enemas or whatever, and her gut is saying no, I'm not ready for it. Right.
Yeah.
So listening to that intuition that your body's telling you. For me, you talked about cold therapy, and I've tried the thing at the end of the shower. I can't do it. I can't get myself to do it. I just hate being cold so much. I'll literally sit in the sauna all day long and just to stay warm. But I got this thing at the recommendation of a colleague called the Cool Fat Burner. And it's kind of like a vest you wear with the cold packs in it. And you wear it for short periods of time. I have not tried it yet. It's been sitting in a box for about a month. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or what you think of it.
I go to the sauna and then go jump into a cold shower. That's always really fun. But this time of year, I haven't done that.
No, I get out of the cold sauna and hot sauna, and within a few minutes, I'm cold again. It's like the thought of even taking my clothes off. I hate to admit this, but I'll go days and days without taking a shower, because just the thought of taking my clothes off when it's cold is really scary, let alone getting in the shower and then turning it to cold. So I'd want to turn it to cold and then turn it back to hot again.
Hot and cold, that's good. That gets your circulation and flushes the tissues. When I went to Ecuador, we did we took local clay and we covered ourselves in clay packs, and then we went down to the river to wash it off. And that means you've got to get all the way in the water because you've done your face too. And the water was very cold. And as soon as you got in, it numbed your body and it felt wonderful. So you just never know. You get used to it.
Yeah, I'm standing here with a hot cup of tea, two sweatshirts. And, and I'm a wimp. We're not even in a real cold spell like the rest of the country. It's like 44 degrees out. It's just,
It's hard. Ambient cold is different than wet cold, too. And, if you can immerse yourself for 30 minutes in an ice bath like some people do, that's pretty hardcore. But
Oh, my. I've done the hot cold like if an injury, like a wrist. And, a minute is about all I can stand on the cold.
Yeah. Well, it gives you collagen production and it stimulates the mitochondria. It does all sorts of good stuff, but it does, and do it gradual, a little bit of cold, a little bit of time, and then you get accustomed to it.
Yeah. I'm so bad at it. We go to like a spa, you know, periodically, a couple once or twice a year, and they have the hot tub and the cold plunge. And my husband goes, you know, in the hot tub, and then he jumps in the cold plunge. And the furthest I've gotten in was up to my thighs, and I get right out. I can't stand it.
Just gotta jump in there.
yeah. I said that's what he says. Just do it. And I'm like, So Rose is saying, holistic doctors Mark Hyman, David Wolf, Eric D, Chris from Crispy Cancer recommending Air Doctor. I actually have an Air Doctor that they sent me. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. So
I love it.
It works because it'll if you have some, like one day somebody was out, I think somebody was outside in the neighbor's house spraying something, and I started to smell it, and the thing, you know, set its volume up to much higher to take care of that in the air.
I don't do that even with essential oils or something. If you're, you know, walking by it, it'll set it off, you know. Or I used to have to tell a lady that came to help clean my house, she'd be sweeping the floor, and I'd say, you need to mop because that thing is, you know, it will clog up the filter because it's constantly, you can tell it's constantly working. And
so it's not being swept into the air. I like it. I did it. They sent it to me because they wanted me to affiliate with them and, you know, send people to them. And they never followed up with me. They just sent me this free thing. And I'm like, well, are you going to send me, like, how I get this and what is it? And nobody ever followed up with me. So, yeah, I've been trying several times to get them to follow up with me. But I have a free Air Doctor as a result. And I had I was looking at getting a discount code. They sent me this thing, and then I was going to get the discount code. So I'll see if we can get somebody to follow up again.
You've done that, you know, that have specials and do things on it. So.
Yeah, because that's what they said, that I could get like a discount code for $100 off or something. Yeah, and I'm great. Tell me. And so we'll have to put that on the list to follow up yet again. I think it was at least three times that I followed up.
Well, the one I'd had before it was a Honeywell, and it was like having a jet engine in the house all the time. So I'm so glad to have one that's quiet. You know?
Yes, it's so quiet. I keep it in my bedroom, and I was thinking I would get one for upstairs. But I have these other air filters that are sitting in the garage because they were so noisy. So let me see what I can do about getting somebody. I'll just have one of my assistants and call up and see what they can do and get that discount because I think that would be helpful.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's it. I don't see any other questions. Let me see if anybody else put it in the Q&A. Jay, you must have put it in there right after.
You know it all, so.
No, well, you did a great job. I loved your, you know, the description, which is really what I believe, too, is the whole idea of it's not the bug, it's the terrain. And, you know, when we do all these things, we strengthen them. They mutate. They mutate fast because they have a short life, and they'll get resistant to whatever it is we're trying to do. And the fact that the flu shots are, it's a hit or miss every year. Like, what strains are you going to put in? More people that I've known of have gotten sick after the flu shot than people who don't. And it is a lot of pressure.
That takes your blood, your immune system down is fear. And they do a lot of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So great call. I don't see any other hands up. So I think we'll end it there. Let me check the chat one more time and see any other questions. You've got Lynn Rose here. Wasn't it great information? Oh, good. Jay just ordered a power wet mop. That sounds interesting. It's like a vacuum cleaner that has a wet thing. That sounds kind of interesting.
As long as it doesn't use chemicals. Yeah.
But, right.
Yeah, because if you think about what you mop your floor with, you know, and then you walk around barefoot on it, so, you know, be wary of that.
Cool. And Rose said that if you Google Wellness Mom, a discount code for Air Doctor, $300 off and a free carbon filter. So that sounds great. Go ahead. Go for it.
Yeah,
absolutely. All right, so I'm going to open up the line. So everybody, on the count of three, I want you to give your thanks to Lynn Rose for an awesome, amazing presentation. So one, two, three. Thank you. It was awesome.
Thank you,
Sue. All right. Bye, everybody.